Father in heaven, I want to thank you for our adventure choir. Such talent and their willingness to share it. And now, Lord, I pray that in the remaining moments of the worship service, your presence will be mighty amongst us as it has been during Sabbath school and the first part of church. Use me, Lord, in spite of me, to be your spokesperson, so that when it's done, we will have heard and we will have seen Jesus. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, whenever there is an accident, especially in Las Vegas, when there are serious injuries, at the scene of these accidents, there are three groups of people, each with a different response towards those involved in the accident. Think. The first group is the bystanders and the onlookers. They are curious and watch to see what will happen, but have little active involvement. The second group is the police officers, of whom are police officers. They are there to investigate the cause of the accident, to assign blame, and to give out appropriate warning and punishment. Who's the third group of people that's there? All right, I heard it. We've got the people, and we got the police, and we got the paramedics. Now, they are the people usually most welcomed by those involved in the accident. They could care less whose fault the accident was, and they do not engage in lecturing about bad driving habits. Their response was to help those who were hurt. They bandaged the wounds, freed trapped people, gave words of encouragement. Three groups. One is uninvolved. One is assigning blame and assessing punishment. And one is helping the hurting people. Which group are you in? And so let's take our Bibles as we look at the sermon today, God's provision for salvation. And let us turn to Acts, the fifth chapter. Boys and girls, open your Bible. We're going to have a whole story here. We're going to share the whole story and follow along with the pictures as we try to look at this, God's provision for salvation. Which group are you? The police, the people, or the paramedics? Acts, the fifth chapter, we'll start with verse number 12. Okay, everybody have their Bibles? And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. Hallelujah. So they brought the sick out into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And then the high priest rose up and all of those who were with him, which are the sect of the Sadducees, they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison door and brought them out. And the angel said to the apostles, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and they began to teach. But the high priest and those who were with him came and called the council together and with all the elders, the children of Israel, and sent to the prison the officers that they might be brought to them. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the door. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Wow. Thank you, Lord. Now, when the high priest and the captains of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people." And then the captain of the guard went with the officials and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you've intended to bring the blood of this man on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." What a story. Which group are you? Are you the innocent bystander that's just gawking? You know, when I read that, the first thing I thought of was the woman with an issue of blood for how many years? 12 years. And what did she spend all her money on? On doctors. And finally, as a last resort, she decided to try Jesus. And so when you read it carefully in the Bible and the Desire of Ages, you will discover that when Jesus was walking through this massive crowd of humanity and suddenly stopped and said, "Who touched me?" the disciples looked at him like, "What, are you nuts?" It was so crowded that everybody was touching him. But nothing happened to those people. But one woman in her desperation reached out far enough to touch the hem of his robe and was instantaneously healed after 12 years of bleeding. And so which group are you? I decided I want to be a paramedic. I decided our church should be a paramedic hospital. We don't need any more bystanders. We got enough of that. We don't need any more policemen running around telling people how to dress, how to eat, how to look. But instead, we need people who heal. Well, you know, on the front of your bulletin is the mission of the Paradise Seventh-day Adventist Church. It says here to proclaim the everlasting gospel, to reflect God's character in our lives and to prepare people for the soon coming of Jesus. Very succinct and to the point. I don't think you could do much better, but I decided today I'm going to alter it. With your permission. For in this story, I found something that really motivated me, and it's a statement that was made. And I wonder how many of you picked it up. To proclaim the everlasting gospel, to reflect God's character in our lives, and to prepare the people for the soon coming of Jesus. By the way, I didn't talk to the elders, so I'm only saying I altered it because I didn't. But I want you to look closely at verse 28. In case you missed the impacting statement that's made there. And this is made by the religious leaders. This would be the group of policemen. And notice what it says in the New King James. It says, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled all of Jerusalem with your doctrine. And intended to bring this man's blood on us. And so notice there's three phrases in this sentence. And one of them is the one that captured my attention the most and that I am going to extend to you as our goal and our vision for this year's evangelism. Can you guess what it is? Fill all of Las Vegas with our doctrine. Amen? That's what we need to be doing. And by the way, I show you the picture of the mountain where we pray from every Wednesday because from that location, mighty miracles have taken place. And I'm going to share another one with you that you don't know about yet. I thought, what could be better than us to have the vision and the goal to fill all of Las Vegas with our doctrine? Now, for those of you who have an affinity to legalists, I'm not talking about the strict utterance of the doctrines. I'm talking about our understanding of Scripture. Let's fill all of Las Vegas with it. Let's do everything we can. Folks, the bystanders are doing nothing. The policemen are running around checking and correcting. But the paramedics are busy working and healing people. They're out there. Some of you are in here and you came looking because there was something wrong and you found the beautiful truth. Many of you said, I found it on 3ABN, and I'm now coming to an Adventist church. Paramedic. We got to fill all of Las Vegas with our doctrine. Our doctrine, by the way, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our doctrine is the everlasting gospel, the three angels' message. And that doctrine includes that we reflect God's character, not ours, because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that will cause us to prepare ourselves indirectly, but directly other people for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We must fill all of Las Vegas with our doctrine. Well, what is this from the mountain that has now occurred? I want to introduce you to Samuel Thomas Jr. He is director of periodical marketing at the Review and Herald Publishing Association. He is an evangelistic. Some of you have seen him on 3BN. He used to be a host on there quite often. He used to have his own TV show called Transformational Ministries. Something like that. It's been a while now. I called Sam up and I said, Sam, how would you like to come to my church and do evangelism for us this fall? He got excited. He got really excited, but he said, "Peter, I want to do something different." And he's been all over preaching and doing evangelism. He said, "I want to bring somebody with me." And so he introduced me to a person I never met before. His name is John T. Boston II. He's a pastor in Central Georgia District, Dublin and Milledgeville. And this guy is innovative. This guy recently held a series of meetings in a small town that brought in 3,000 people. In fact, the General Conference was so interested, they invited him to come and speak to them. I guess it was the North American Division, excuse me. And these two men are going to come here and do evangelism in October. And I want us to start preparing for it now. Those of you who haven't been trained to be a paramedic need to be started right now, so that we can be paramedics through this whole process till October arrives. And these two men come. And I want to show you when they're going to come. They're going to come on the 18th, the 19th, the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th. Now notice the new innovative way to do it. The church prepares people by studying with them ahead of time, and they come with a short burst every night to reap the harvest. This is happening everywhere now, including in the Spanish churches. It culminates in the convocation at Cashman Center on the 26th. I better show you that. And in the afternoon, we're having a baptism. And Sam and Pastor Sam and Pastor John will stay right on with us, be at the convocation, and they will do the baptism or assist with the baptism for our group. Because all the churches are going to be there on the 26th. But folks, I'm telling you, from the mountain came the experience of these two men. They do not think little. In fact, when John did what he did in that high school auditorium in a town of 10,000, he brought in 3,000 people, preached the second coming of Jesus Christ, brought a gospel artist to sing, and then had a call. Seventh-day Adventist minister. And they're coming here. Yes. Oh, you're kidding me. Well, no. What are we in? 2014? Oh. Well, this whole sermon's useless. They were supposed to have been here already. That's how excited I am. And my girlfriend, I live with her. Pastor, this is terrible. One day off. Okay, so move it off, folks. The days are right, the dates are wrong. I'm really excited because these guys don't think small. Not only that, I'm going to show you this and then I'm going to go back to them. On April 26th of this month, and 26 is correct, the last Sabbath of this month, those two men will be here in this pulpit. And they'll be preaching the 11 o'clock service, and then in the afternoon, John will be preaching, and he's putting on a seminar, how to use social networking for evangelism. In fact, I got to tell you something very interesting. You folks know, I talk to you, call me and stuff, and say, "Hey, on Facebook I saw this, on Facebook I saw this." We did evangelism recently here, and we did Daniel, and we sent out advertising. We did Revelation, and we invited people and sent out mailings. And you know what? No one came to me except two people and said, "Pastor, I want to put it on Facebook." But yet you will put the most personal bit of garbage on Facebook. Did you put down that we're having meetings and it's really exciting? Come to our church. Not only that, John Boston is going to show us how you can raise money on the internet. And he's going to do a seminar here. And folks, I got to tell you this. I got to tell you this, in spite of the wrong date and everything, okay? It comes from the mountain prayer. It comes from the Wednesday morning effort to go up to the mountain that overlooks this valley and pray that God does something significant. And we already had John Bradshaw, and now we have a home, the Destiny House, up and running with girls in it. And now Sam and Tom are coming in October. We need to prepare now. We need to start praying, who does God want me to bring? Who does God want me to work with? And these guys, like I said, are coming on the 26th, because once you meet them and see their fervor, their excitement, and their joy in the Lord, that you will want to be part of this. And notice, April is now. You got May, June, July, August, September, 6 months to prepare for their arrival. And believe me, when they come here on the 26th, and they're coming, by the way, for 4 days. They're going to check out the lay of the land here. And what they're going to end up planning and doing will blow our minds for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, any of you who haven't been baptized, I never encourage anybody to delay, but if you haven't been baptized, start preparing to be baptized on the 26th. If you want Sam to do that baptism, Pastor Sam, you want Pastor John, they're going to be doing it on that day. Pastor Julio and I will be available, but we want to start planning for that now, and all the churches in the valley will be meeting at the convocation. And they will be doing their own preparation for this event. But God has gifted us in a mighty way because of prayer. And I'm beside myself with joy. And I just wish I could convey it to you more intelligently and excitingly than I really feel, than I'm showing you that I feel on the inside. So my friends, there's three kinds of people at an accident scene. There's the innocent bystander, there's the policeman, but there's the paramedic. And those who are injured, when they see the paramedic, they breathe a huge sigh of relief. I beg you to make a covenant this very day that you'll determine that you will not only be a paramedic, but you will help make our church a paramedic facility so God can send anybody here and we will care for them. Father, I want to thank you for each and every person who's come this morning, because I know that it wasn't an accident, coincidence, or chance. It was providential. And so here we are, Lord, anticipating some exciting things happening between now and October, but also October. And I haven't even told them what's happening in between yet. And Lord, you wouldn't do this for our church if you didn't believe in our people. And if there are any doubters in this congregation about their ability to be a paramedic, I want you to assure them you would never send these guys here if that was the case. You would send them somewhere else. And so your biddings are enablings. And so help us to stand to the plate, Lord, straight and tall. Help us to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and to begin to reach out to people right now so that when October comes, whatever place these sermons will be preached, whether it's here or some larger venue, we pack it for You. Lord, we want to fill Las Vegas with Your biblical doctrine, the three angels' messages. So make it possible and bless each person to participate, we pray, in Jesus' name, and we thank You. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.